glad that you're able to be with us this morning in this place. We continue to grow, and it's exciting to see the body of Christ come together and for you to seek out His heart. I love hearing you worship. Wow, that is just a blessing to my heart to let you minister to me. You're preaching a sermon to the preacher when you sing. I got to tell you, this has been an amazing week for me. I hope you've had a great week, but it started out Monday with a migraine that kept me in bed all day long, and I just couldn't have any sight, like light. I was shut off in the darkness, no sound, just as mute as possible. And about 9 o'clock, my wife was trying to get our kids in the bed. And she was like, "Landon, Maddie, get to the bed." And I mean now. "Landon, stop running around in the hallway. Maddie, get to bed. No, we don't need to play with our baby dolls right now." And it was just one thing after another. And after about 15 minutes, she was like, "Landon, I said go to bed." "Okay, well, go tell your dad." And I'm like, uh-oh, what has he done now? Okay. And so the door opens up and the creaking of the door opening slowly, and I'm like, oh, he's done something bad. He's leery about coming in. And Joy said, "No, go ahead, go tell him." And he comes in, and it's the thing that every parent wants to hear. He said, "Daddy, I asked Jesus into my heart just now, and I'm going to live forever in heaven with Him." So it just, that was an amazing thing. We've talked about it and coming to know and love Jesus and giving our heart to Him. One time I asked him, I said, "Are you ready?" And he said, "No, not yet." And so the Lord knew I needed kind of to be humble about that I couldn't boast about bringing my son to Jesus. So he brought himself to the Lord on Monday night. So rejoice with me in that. It was just a great start to a great week, and it just kept getting better and better. And I just want to give God praise and thanks for that. We're in this second week of a three-week series we've entitled Alter Ego. We're learning to sacrifice who we think we are so that we can become who God says we are. We're talking about placing our egos on the altar of God so that we can become who God says we are. Last week we talked about laying down feelings of inadequacy, and this week we're going to touch on our need to sacrifice control. By show of hands, how many of y'all used to play with Barbie dolls? Okay, guys, I see that too. Yeah. G.I. Joes, all right? Yeah.
That's the manly thing, you know.
Hey, I played with Barbie and G.I. Joe because, you know, it made sense at my house to have G.I. Joe rescue the damsel in distress. And you know, it's interesting. When you're playing with Barbie dolls or G.I. Joe, or the other thing I had growing up was the Fisher-Price farm and garage and the plane. You remember those? You know what was amazing about that? You were God, right? I mean, they didn't do anything. You controlled everything about Barbie or G.I. Joe or the little Fisher-Price family. You completely controlled them. Like Barbie and G.I. Joe, the clothing that they wore, the accessories they used, their actions, their dialogue, everything about their world was your creation. Now, here's the deal. How many of you still like to be in control? You know, it's kind of like Barbie and Mattel and whoever all those toy companies are trained us to be godlike or to desire to have control over things. If you just raise the hand of the person next to you when you answered that question, this sermon is really for you, okay? So today, we want to talk about this. And to be honest, we all have areas that we like to control. Even if we don't want to control everything, there are areas in our life that we want some degree of control. Maybe you're really controlling at work, and everything has to be just the way you want it. And you go home and you're just kind of laid back. You don't have to have control at home. Funny thing is, you're sitting next to somebody who's the exact opposite. They want perfect control with the house, and the job, they just do whatever they're told. some of you may be very controlling about your finances. You want to account for every penny that's spent. But when it comes to mealtime, you don't even worry about counting calories. It's not that big of a deal. We're controlling in some areas and not controlling in other areas. It's interesting how we do get riled up about some things, and some things we're just relaxed. We're chilled out. How many of you notice your controlling tendency come out when you're driving on Back Beach Road? Okay, honestly, let's have a little support group here. Yeah, it shows up, doesn't it? If we look at our lives, I think we'll find that typically we try to control basically three different kinds of broad categories. We're either wanting to control people, we're wanting to control circumstances, or we're attempting to control outcomes. Pretty much, that's the sum total of it. We try to control people. You know, when we see somebody in our life that they have one or two things that we just don't like, we like to change them, don't we? We try to manipulate their actions because we believe we know what's best for them. And so we try to control them. Maybe coworkers, it may be our children, it may be our spouses, but we want control because absolutely we know what's best for them. All right. The other thing we might attempt to control is circumstances. We want things to look just so. So we exhibit this tendency to want our houses to be perfect. Everything in its place. Everything to be picked up. We want our kids to be the perfect representations of us in every single way. So we try to manipulate and we try to control circumstances and then outcomes. We want to control how things turn out. We want happy endings, and so we attempt to control how things will turn out. And why do we want to be in control? Because our egos are out of control. We really do think we know what's best, and it's like we're still playing with Barbie and G.I. Joe and the Fisher-Price people. In fact, Ken Blanchard says that ego stands for edging God out. E-G-O, edging God out. That we know what's right, so we're going to force it. We're not going to trust God, and we're just going to move God out of the equation so that we can actually do what needs to be done, whether God's going to do it or not. In fact, for those of us that are kind of control freaks, there is a theme verse that we have in the Bible. It's out of Proverbs chapter 3, 5, and 6. I trust myself with all my heart, and I lean on my own understandings. In all my ways, I demonstrate wisdom, and I'll make sure everything works out. Right? Isn't that the way it is? The only thing is, that's not the accurate Bible verse. You see, what the Bible says is we should trust in God with all of our heart and never lean on our own understanding. In all of our ways, we should acknowledge Him, and He will make our paths straight. It's very difficult to see control, isn't it? And to recognize it in ourselves. We can't see it in the mirror because we legitimately think that what we're doing is right and that it's the best thing. And we're edging God out, and we're not even aware about it. So today, I want to give you an example of control gone bad from Scripture. Then we're going to ask three questions and apply those questions to our lives, hopefully from here on out. Okay? The story I want us to look at comes out of Genesis chapter 12 and following. It's kind of a segment of Scripture there in Genesis. It's the story of Abraham and Sarah. God promised this barren, childless couple, you're going to give birth. Wow, okay, we've not had kids. We don't seem to be able to produce kids. But God's saying to them, I'm going to give you a child. And I'm going to actually bless all the nations of the earth through your offspring. And when God didn't immediately go ahead and do what He promised to do, what happens is that Abraham and Sarah do what so many of us do. They helped God out. They tried to take control of the situation, and they allowed their egos to get in the way. Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 4 says, Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had bore him no children, but she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. In other words, she's saying to Abraham, I don't trust God. I've tried to make things happen, and she edged God out of the process. The text goes on to say, Abram agreed to what Sarah said. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. Now, time doesn't allow us to unpack all the chaos their ego had caused. But let's just say, Hagar gave birth to a son named Ishmael. And sometime later, God did what he said he would do. The promise was fulfilled, and Abraham and Sarah gave birth to a son named Isaac. And there was a whole lot of tension, as you can imagine, between Hagar and Sarah, Ishmael and Isaac. And centuries later, here we are, way on down the line, the descendants of Ishmael, the Palestinians, are at war and at odds with the descendants of Isaac and Israel. All of this traces back to the time when a couple foolishly thought they could edge God out and put matters right by taking their own course of action. You know, maybe you're a single girl here today, and the clock is ticking, and you want a Christian man, and since there's no Christian men in your realm of and your circle of influence or knowledge, you're settling for less than God's best. And because you've begun to take control, you're edging God out. Or maybe financially, you're in a situation where you're a follower of Jesus and you know the tithe belongs to God, but you begin to rationalize saying, well, we'll do that later on down the line when we're out of debt or when we have a little bit of extra money. That's when we give God his part and we edge God out of those areas of our life. Or maybe you've got some bad stuff going on and you're freaking out. So what do? We tend to edge God out and we try to find peace or help through other means. You ever do that? Alcohol or looking at images on the internet, food, shopping. I mean, the list is endless in the places we go to trying to find peace or trying to find serenity or something that will help us deal with all the junk that we've got going on in our world. And we make very bad long-term decisions for very short-term benefits. We think we know what's best, so we edge God out. Here's the question I want us to ask ourselves today, and I want each of you to think about this. What are you trying to control? What are you trying to control? Is it other people? Is it situations? Is it outcomes? Is it your image? What is it that you are trying to control today? And I want you to write that down, because until you identify it, you're just going to continue to live life as you've always lived it, and you're going to edge God out, maybe unintentionally. But if you know what it is you're trying to control, then we can begin to address the situation. When you identify this area, I want to give you three questions you can ask that hopefully will help you lay down your trying to control the situation and begin to trust God. The first question is this: is it worth my concern? Is this thing that I'm trying to control, is it worth my concern? One time Jesus, you remember, was visiting the house of Mary and Martha, and Martha was trying to control things, and she wanted everything to be perfect for Jesus' visit. She comes to Jesus after a while and she said, Jesus, get my sister Mary to help me out. She's lazy. She's not doing anything to help me out. I want the house to be perfect. I want the meal to be perfect. And so Jesus, get on to her. And what does Jesus say? Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken away from her. You know what Jesus is telling Martha? This isn't worth getting upset about. Stop trying to control the situation, Martha, and just enjoy my visit. So many of us, because of our inflated egos, we're trying to control things that really just don't matter in the larger scheme of things. So ask yourself, is this thing I'm trying to control, is it really worth my concern? The second question you might ask yourself is it mine to control? Sometimes that answer is yes. Yes, it is yours to control. There's something for you to do about the situation that you're concerned about. For example, if you're messed up financially, is there something you can do? Absolutely. You can begin cutting back on your spending. You can begin to work from a budget. If you've got a messed up marriage, you can do something about it. You can pray together. You can join a life group together or a growth course. You can initiate counseling together. Maybe start a date night. There are things that you can do to make your relationship work. Listen, if you're a guy and you've not been on a date in about 7 years or so, can you trust God with it? Yes, but there's something you can do. Maybe you need to think about getting involved in a church where some godly women are. Or maybe you need to go out some and just see what's out there. Maybe you need to take a bath or brush your teeth. There's something you can do. Maybe a little deodorant would go a long way. Or, you know, maybe just asking a lady to go out. Maybe that would be a huge step. Can you do something about it? Yeah. In some of those times, in some of those places, there's something we can do. But then there's other times where it's just beyond our control. And we need to recognize those times when it's beyond our control and stop trying to make things happen. Where we just step back and we just say, I'm powerless in this situation. And we need to give it over and trust God with it. In fact, James chapter 4, verses 13 through 14 says, there are some things over which we have no control. James says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this city or that city and spend a year there and carry on business and make money, you think that you can iron everything out. You can plan it all out. You just know exactly what's going to happen. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. How do you think you control even a year from now? Can I control it? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. We need the wisdom to know the difference and to act accordingly. And then the third question we need to ask ourselves is this: is it for God alone to handle? In fact, Paul told the Philippians something very powerful in chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. He says this, don't be anxious. How many of you are anxious about something right now? Did you know that when you're anxious about something, it's really a sign you're trying to control it? Did you realize that? That it's not ours to control. Jesus is telling us, Paul is telling us, if you're worried, don't be worried. We're not to be anxious about anything. We're supposed to trust God. The scripture in Philippians goes on to say, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. He's saying, give it over to God. And then what does scripture tell us? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, when you try to control something that you can't control, you get anxious. But when you give it to God and you trust Him, you get peace. Isn't that what we're all really wanting, what we're craving, what we're striving after? So there's some application questions I want to ask you. And I want you to answer me yes or no out loud, okay? First thing, can you change your spouse? Good answer, all right? I noticed some of you looked at your spouse and were kind of wondering if it was okay to answer that way, all right? I'm available for counseling later in the week if you need that. But it's not a trick question. No, we can't change them. Try as we might to control the situation or edge God out, we can't do that, can we? You can love your spouse, but you can't change them. So what do you need to do if your spouse needs to change? You love them, you pray for them, and you trust them to God, who alone can change them. Another question, can you heal a loved one who is sick? No, only God can do that. So what do we need to do? We need to pray for them. We need to encourage them. We need to help them in any way that we can. Maybe getting them good medical advice or seeing about them, taking care of their needs. But ultimately, we trust them to God so that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, can you control your future or the future of your children or those you love? No, we can't do that. So what can we do? We can pray, we can trust God, we can give wise counsel, make wise decisions. But in the area of ultimate control, we have to relinquish and let God do what only God can do. Does God control the future? Yes. So let's trust him with it. All right? Now think for a minute. In that story with Abraham and Sarah and Isaac, there's this idea that Isaac represented everything that Abraham wanted and more. It's a son. And God gives him the son. And everything is good and exciting and it's perfect. And then what does God ask Abraham to do with Isaac? Sacrificing. It's an opportunity for him to edge God out, isn't it? God, you don't know what's best here. Sacrificing this son that you promised me is probably not a good idea. But do you know what Abraham does? He trusts God, doesn't he? God has promised him a son. God's delivered on the son. And now when God says sacrifice him, Abraham takes him to Mount Moriah. And they've got the fire and they've got the knife and it's him and the boy. And you can imagine, you know, inquisitive children. I bet Isaac looked at his dad and said, Dad, where's the animal for the sacrifice? God will provide. God will provide. We're going to trust God for that. And the son carries the wood and up they go. And the father begins to bind Isaac and lay him on the altar. And he brings the knife up. Can you imagine this level of the 11th hour? God comes through and says, don't sacrifice him. I see that your heart is inclined to me. I see what you're willing to do. There's a ram caught in the thicket. And scripture says, and Abraham went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. You see, when Abraham finally surrendered control of that which he wanted the most, he saw the miraculous provision of God. When he stopped edging God out and started trusting God with what he valued most, he was able to see the miraculous. How many times in our lives do we edge God out and we pay the consequences of our actions? When if we would have just trusted God, God would have came through in ways we could not even imagine, and we would have seen the miraculous. I came here today to tell you, when you try to control what's not yours to control, you're going to be filled with anxiety and you're going to be left dealing with the consequences of your decisions, of edging God out. But if you will trust God and you take what belongs to God and you lay it down on his altar and allow him to provide, allow him to become Jehovah Jireh, our provider, then the Bible says the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Control. Do you want to be someone different? Let's lay control down on the altar and stop edging God out. Would you pray with me today? Lord, we thank you for this message. We thank you that it challenges us at the very core of who we are and what we try to do every day of our lives. Lord, help us to stop viewing things through the eyes of a child trying to control Barbie and G.I. Joe. And help us to trust you that you really are God and you really do know what you're doing and you have plans that are to bless us and to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us a future and a hope. And so God, work on us from the inside out. May we trust you implicitly and completely that we might see your miracles and we might enjoy your life and your peace. Today, God, thank you for listening. Thank you for caring. Thank you for challenging us through your word. Make it come alive in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. Mm-hmm.